Okay. So we had talked last time about dirt under the fingernails, and B, the minhag to cut your fingernails, and how that was a binding minhag, and the achiezer about what if someone doesn't want to keep that minhag. Then it gets a little more serious in Sif Chaf. The Mechaber says the Pashat Pshat. Davka, says the Mechaber, Botzeik Shetachat Hatzipor and Chotzeitz. I mean Sif Chaf. Aval Tzipor and Atzva, Eino Chotzeitzetz. Right, this is Pashat. Only the dirt that stuck to your fingernails, Chotzeitz, but the fingernail itself can't be Chotzeitz because it's part of the body. Vafilo is a gedolah venus lechatech, even if it was very long and needed cutting. Uparachas, we're going to get a basar, and it went out far. It Parachas, I guess, literally floating, meaning it went out into the airspace, past the nail, and even if, you know, you had planned to cut it, eino chotzetzes. It's not a problem. Because what's part of your body is not a problem. So let's say you have long hair and you were planning to get a haircut, it's not a problem. Chatzitza, according to the Mechaber, if you have long nails, according to Sfardim, if you have long nails and you're planning to cut them, it is not a chatzitza. Yeah, it's against the minhag, but it's not a chatzitza. Adds the Ramah, Miu calls a davka shein so a batzik davka shas to tavla. First, there's something obvious. It's only not a problem if it was clean. Umeachar, then he says a big chiddush. Umeachar tver nagul litol tzipor nayim. Once the minhag is to cut your fingernails, afilum tzipor and achas nishar biyada. Even if one fingernail, meaning for sure, if all your fingernails you forgot to cut, but even if you only forgot to cut one fingernail, v'tavla and you tovel tricha tfila cheres. Again, minig Ashkenaz is a real chatzitza, not a minhag. A bidi eved chatzitza. That it's a real chatzitza bidi eved if you forget to cut your fingernails. That's a big chiddush of the Ramah. What's the reason for this minhag? That that tzipor nayim or chotzeitz even bidi eved. So this is Machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. The Taz quotes from the Hagos Shari Dura. Hagos Shari Dura. And the Taz says, Shema Hayabo, or let's say E-F-Shar. This, right? There, E-F-Shar. Right? It's impossible that it was clean. This is going a little far. What do you mean it was impossible that it was clean? This is like a big chumrah. It's impossible it was clean. It for sure had dirt. Now, again, it would only be a problem if it had the kind of dirt that's the problem. Right? Depends if it's soa or if it's batzik and where it is. That's one explanation. However, the Rav Shach quotes from Ravan, this tremendous chiddush of the Ravan. The Shach quotes from the Ravan. And this is the Ramah himself. If you look at the Ramah himself, it doesn't sound like, it doesn't sound like it's because we're afraid it's dirty. It sounds like only because the minhag is to cut it. Right? I mean, if there had been no minhag to cut it, it wouldn't be a problem, b'di'evit. Once the minhag is to cut it, the chachil becomes a problem, b'di'evit. Why? Because a tziporen ha'omed lechatech is considered a foreign object. A fingernail that's going to be cut is considered a foreign object, and as a foreign object, it's chotzeitz. So here the question is, what's chotzeitz? Is it the dirt that's chotzeitz? Or is it the nail that's chotzeitz? Now, interestingly, this svara of the shach Pashtus only applies to women who keep the halacha properly. Let's say this woman who never cuts her fingernails for mikveh, and she's like one of these achiezer women who we let tovel because we don't want to turn them off, but is not keeping Min Yisrael properly. Then for her, for sure there's no problem with Shach and the Ramah. She was part of the people who never had the minhag to cut their fingernails. It's not meant to be cut, so it's not a chote. It's not chotzeitz. But for regular from women who cut their fingernails every month for mikveh, then for them, this is something that has to be cut off in Minhag Yisrael. And Minhag Yisrael is din. Once it has to be cut off in Minhag Yisrael, then maybe it's chotzeitz.
Is it for her that she views it, I mean, like, because she's going to cut it, it's not concerned for her autistic, because similar to, like, it's something that mixed-ass people or most people are concerned about, then for everyone it's not considered a chatzitza.
The pashup shot is it's only if she participates in this minhag, because this is a chiddush in the first place. It's a big chiddush, say, something that's part of your body can be chotzei. It's a big enough chiddush, we'll leave it at that. Now, the poskim are not machmir. Let's see some of the details. The question is, how serious is this? How serious is this chatzitza? Again, I think here it's paradoxical. It's a bit of a chotei niskar. I think it would be more comfortable, a woman who doesn't keep the proper minhagim, to say b'dievet, it's okay. Even though l'chachilu violating minhag b'mezid. Most from women, and most from women in our circles, keep the minhag. I didn't go around looking at everyone's hands. But I'm sure if I did, I would see that they all had short nails. And therefore, if she forgets, then it's a real problem even b'dieved, because it had to be cut. Now, here's one thing the poskim say. Let's say taka, your hair's a little long. You're planning to get a haircut. We're not really choshish for that. Why? Because that's just like a fashion decision. You could go one way, you could go the other way. That we're not going to say that it doesn't count as part of your body. It's a foreign object. The reason we're machmir here is because it's not just a fashion decision, as the Ramah said. He's not machmir just for fashion decisions. He's machmir because it's a halachic reason you have to cut it. If there's a halachic reason you have to cut it, then that's much more serious. So we would not say anyone who taka could use a haircut were choshish for their tefillah. No, because you decide your fashion. Some people like it longer, some people shorter. You know, it's there's no objective that has to be cut. However, in this case, with a halachic reason, a minute reason to cut it, then the shach says we're choshesh, that maybe it counts as a foreign object, it's halachically supposed to be cut, and as a foreign object, it's a chatzitza. When could that possibly come up? So the Chassam Sofer, the Pesach Tshuva, a little in the next sif, it brings the only case when you might think this would come up. What else is there a minhag reason you have to cut besides your fingernails for mikvah? It says, if you're Hasidish, and apparently in Hungary, even the non-Hasidim, because the Chassam Sofer was Hasidish, you have to shave your hair after the wedding. So how can any kala go to the mikvah? Shouldn't her hair be a chatzitza? Because minhag Yisrael of Hungary, that you have to share it, that you have to shave it after the wedding. So Chassam Sofer says, no problem. It's only minhag Yisrael to shave it after the wedding, not before the wedding. So therefore, right now, it's not omeid ligzos. So l'maisa, the only time we're really machmir about this is with fingernails, because those are the only things that there's a halachic reason and not just a fashion reason that you need to cut.
You're saying the halachic reason is based on the minhag?
Yes.
So wouldn't there also be like shaving legs, which is minhag of most women to shave the legs?
But it's not a minhag for halachic reasons. It's a minhag for fashion reasons.
What do you mean by minhag halachic
reasons? It's like this. It's only because of this weird indirect chain of events. Originally, there was a halacha. Originally, there was a fact that dirt got stuck under people's fingernails. The obvious halacha is dirt under your fingernails is chatzitza. Because of the dirt under your fingernails, it became a minhag to cut their fingernails. Now, because you cut the fingernails, now it's omeid ligazes, and now the fingernail itself could be a chatzitza. We wouldn't say that about other things because then it would be circular logic. You can't say, well, the minhag is to shave your legs because shaving your legs might be a chatzitza, and it's a chatzitza because the minhag is to shave your legs. It has to start someplace that's not circular. Here it started with the dirt. Because of the dirt, that led to a minhag to cut, and that led to the fingernail itself being a chash chatzitza. Now, what about other things? So, what about shaving legs? So, lechatchila, we're makpid, that if there's something a woman really needs to shave, let's say in our societies, I think all the societies I know of nowadays, it's considered fashion necessary, LP fashion, for a woman to shave her legs. Not a halachic reason, but it's a necessary LP just to how you look. Therefore, we say the proper practice is the woman should shave her legs before she goes to the mikvah, lechatchila, as a proper practice. But it's not as serious as this, because it's only fashion. It's not, there's no halachic minhag. So therefore, when it comes to shaving legs, it is the proper practice for a woman to shave her legs before she goes to mikvah. The the actual women who know things say it's best to shave your legs the day before mikvah, because then sometimes you have little pieces of skin or something that come off that could be a chatzitza problem that you need time to get rid of. So the best is to do it a day before mikvah. That way any debris left will be gone in a day. That's the proper practice. Sfardin have a minhag to shave pubic hair before mikvah. Again, I never like to say Sfardim, because I'm sure every time I hear what Sfardim do, I'm sure some Sfardim do and some Sfardim do a different way. And I don't know, I'm not culturally aware enough to know which Sfardim do what. But at the very least, most Sfardim, it seems like, have a minute shaped pubic hair before mikvah. But again, all of these inyanim are, I don't think Ashkenazim have such a minhag. All of these inyanim are more of a lechachila proper thing. They're not a chash of chatzitza mamish like tziporin. For the reason that not all of those is only because it might be your fashion decision to remove certain hair, and therefore, I mean, there are all kinds of hair you can imagine. I mean, women who have hair growing in places where most women don't, it's very necessary for them, I'll be fashion, to remove it. So then also this would be a proper thing to, any unsightly hair that she doesn't like fashion-wise would be proper practice to remove before mikvah. But we wouldn't say any of that is a chash chatzitza mamish b'di'eved, because all of those are only fashion. Only omed lichotech ligozes alpi fashion. Fingernails, which through this funny chain of events are omed ligozes alpi halacha, based on the dirt, which then led to the custom to cut them, alpi halacha, which then made them omen the gazes for an independent halachic reason, that's more serious. Okay, so bottom line, any type of hair that a woman, alpi aesthetics, needs to shave is proper practice to be machmer and shave before mikvah just in case it's some far out shash of chatzitza is omen the gazes, but that's only a proper practice lechatchila. The only thing that we're worried about, the dievet, is fingernails, because those come from a minhag which comes from someplace else and not just from fashion.
Wouldn't certain people halachically not be able to ever get like a melech or a kohen gadol ever be able to live with them? Like, doesn't that make no sense?
I mean, there are better kashas why all this makes. No. What do you mean? They only have to get a haircut once a day. If it's within the day, then they don't need a haircut yet.
No, but it's that whatever hair they have is standing to be cut very soon.
What's very soon? Not till the next day. Right now, it's not standing to be cut.
So then, doesn't that make this whole discussion not relevant? I mean, she's not cutting it the next day. She's cutting it whenever.
No, she's supposed to cut it before mikvah.
I understand. And that's what I'm asking. I think, how can you ever go to the mikvah if you are going to have your hair cut soon? So any hair that you have now on your body is not considered like standing to be cut.
Soon. No. There's two different people who have to have their hair cut soon. It's people who already have to have their hair cut. They're just delaying. And people who don't have to have their hair cut yet. If you don't need your hair cut yet, that's not a problem. She says, if a woman didn't shave her legs for a long time, she needs it already. She was just didn't get around to it till now. So that's why lechatchila were a little machmir. And even that's only lechatchila. So the answer for your melech would be, if it lechatchila is hey for the efshar. Okay, all right, you're saying it's more like this, but I think the difference is clear. Here you were supposed to have cut it by now. The melech is supposed to cut it tomorrow. I think that's a big difference. Reminiscent of Chassam Sofer. Okay, Viter. Anyway, this is a very serious issue. How seriously do we take it? Bottom line, when push comes to shove, is it really ma'akev b'di'evit or is it really not ma'akev b'di'evit? Is also machloka shach and taz. The reason is because the taz thinks there's no chance the fingernail is chotzitz. It's all a far out shash of dirt. And it's a little far out. What do you mean it's impossible there be no dirt? We have eyes. You can look. If you see there's no dirt, there's no dirt. It just meant that we prefer to be on the safe side. But the taz says, how seriously can you take this? The shach says, I found Ravon. It's a little funny, he found one Ravon. It's always hard to tell why sometimes the Shach finds one Ravon, which is Shitas Yochid, Shem Shitas Yechidim, and decides to go with that Ladina. But on a few occasions he does. And the Shach is more serious. So Halacha Lemaisa, what's the Din B'dieved? So, I'm not talking about Sfardim. All Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. The Ramah says Ma'akiv B'dieved. How B'dieved Ma'akiv is it? Even b'di'evid, there's two levels of ikuvah. There's really ma'akev b'di'evid, and there's chumr ma'akev b'di'evid. There's some things that are such serious chumrs, we even keep the chumrs b'di'evid. And then there are dina b'di'evid. What's the difference between a chumr b'di'evid and a din b'di'evid? In three words? Exactly. Lonsa itzel ba'ila. What if she already went home and slept with her husband, and we assume, even though there are different formulations of the poskim, that it means slept with literally. even if they did not engage in intercourse, that if it's a chumra b'di'evet, the chumra b'di'evet is she has to get into her car and drive back to the mikvah. But if she already slept with her husband, then it's possible she should be machmir chumra. However, an ikra b'di'evet is an ikra b'di'evet. I don't care what she did. She's still tzmeah. Aye, because Sfardim don't even have this. The answer is I'm not sure. Maybe there's reasons that I'm not familiar with, or maybe it's just l'chadchila chum Rabbi Alma. You know, it could be that l'chadchila they might admit to the Ramah. They just it didn't happen to come up. But maybe there's some other reason I'm not thinking of. So what? Oh, they are. Remember the Mechaber said cut your nails in l'chadchila. Okay, so I hear the kasha. I don't know. I have to look in the Sephardic poskim and see if I'm missing something. I hear kasha. I mean, I can get out of it, but just because I have a way to get out of it doesn't mean that's the truth. You know, you have to look in the Makoros and see what's the real way to get out of it. Anyway, Lamaisa says the Taz that Bidi Evan, Bidi Evan, the Tvila is Psula, but. Once the Eitzel Baila is then, let's say, Bidi Eved, her tefillah is no good, but once the Eitzel Baila, then it's okay, because this is the Bidi Eved Chum Rabbi Alma, he thinks. However, the Shach takes this very seriously, because he found one Ravan. Again, this has very weak roots in the Rishonim. The Shach found one Ravan, which is very much Shitas Yachid. They quote a Hagosha Redura, which is a reason that's hard to understand. And then they say that Hagosha Redura was quoting a Shud of the Maharam in Rutenberg, but doesn't actually seem to say that. The Shah says, nope. Bidi Eved, and even Lansa Eitzel Bala, if possible to Tovel again, she should Tovel again. I mean, it's always possible to Tovel again, except, you know, hard to imagine when it's not possible to Tovel again. I mean, even if she went home and mom she slept with her husband, she has to go back to the mikvah the next day. That's a big chiddush of the Shach. How do we paskin? All the later Achronim paskin like the Taz against the Shach. They say this is a tremendous chiddush. To say the fingernail itself is chotzeitz? And Achronim, l'chachila to be machmir that way, fine. Even b'di'evet to be machmir, fine. But in lunseitz, al bayla to really paskin that way, al pi halacha, like an actual din, that's going too far. You can't take one ravan, that's a shitas yachid, and make that the actual din. Even though the Ramah sounded that way. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, we paskin like all the later Achronim paskin like the Taz, or most later Achronim paskin like the Taz, that Bidi'evich has to go back to the mikvah if she forgot to cut her nails, but if it's the next day, then she doesn't have to go back to the mikvah.
And so if they have a kid 9 months later, are there like halacha nafmias? Like, is the Shach going to take it that far that they apply to this kid?
most would be a ben nida midrabanan, which Rav Moshe says is not really a ben nida, and the Taz also implies that earlier. I don't think we go that far. The question is just, how much does she have to, how b'di'evet is it? So we pass in takets b'di'evet, but not so b'di'evet.
You know,
The Taz, but not carbon, because worse comes worse, the miyadu makvid, so it's only makvid midrabanan, so the miyadu carbon. So you're right, the Taz, but I think the Taz says even, he's only really worried about nidu doraisa, not nidu doraisa, or shash nidu doraisa.
Right, it seems like they care a lot about being mosei laws, but not that it actually would have any halachic ramifications.
No, the most, yes, it's funny, because the Taz does say, what if she gets pregnant, etc., but I still think that he would admit that it's more of a laz than an actual nafkamina. Although, yesh ladun, you know, there's a lot ladun in, you know, in terms of the metaphysics. Let's say you're a nidah midrabanan. You know, what does that make the kid? That has to do with all the lumdus of the rabbanans, which is not for now. I in the Meshech Chach at the beginning of Shoftim against the Asfand Araisa and Klal Yud Aleph, or Yud, which is it? Which Yud or Yud Aleph, wherever. But not for now. Okay, Viter. Now, this gives birth to a very, very, yes.
But the Shach ends up saying,
right, Hechdel Efsher. If you can't, but I'm not sure exactly what he means by you can't. Like, in what case? He obviously means, what case? He says, even the next day she has to go back to the mikveh if she can. But not if she can't. What's the case when she can't?
It's a little funny to figure out the case when she can't. Like, in what case can't she? Right? So that's why I'm not putting it on the board. I assume the normal cases she can. You can always go back to the mikveh the next day.
It's lona'im, but the shach's willing to swallow that. But in any case, so you're right, but in any case, we don't pass like the shach. Okay, here you get a tremendous discussion in the shach, this Taz and Kudas and Kesavir are famous in Hilchas Shabbos. This is, I might venture to say, this is the most famous Nekudas HaKesef in Hilchas Shabbos. I'm fairly confident. This is the most famous Nekudas HaKesef in Hilchas Shabbos. Because this is very sodistic. We could go through a lot of lumps in Hilchas Shabbos, which we don't have time for now. We'll just summarize. This brings up two issues. Number one, what if she forgot to cut her nails and it's Chol HaMoed? So then there's a whole discussion. There are those Rishonim who say that it's usher to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed, and therefore you should do it with a shinoy, or preferably you should get a goy, etc. The Taz points out that that's all based on the Rishonim of Paskin, you're not allowed to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. We Paskin then may ikarit, and you're allowed to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. And even Lamaisa, I'm not going to go through the whole line now, you go through the Mishnah Berurah, and in almost all circumstances, he's makel and cutting your nails on Chol HaMoed, or many circumstances. So therefore, that's not an interesting issue. There's a fascinating discussion, right? Is it worth being mechal Chol HaMoed to cut your fingernails? Right? But the answer is, for us, it doesn't matter, because we really say me'ikradin, Sfardim say you can cut your fingernails on Chol HaMoed no matter what, and Ashkenazim say you can cut your fingernails if you have any reason you need to, or you cut them before Yontif. That's summary of Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So therefore, for sure she can cut her nails normal Chol HaMoed. That's not a big deal, because we don't paskin that it's usher to cut nails midin on Chol HaMoed. The more interesting question, what about Shabbos or Yontif? What if it's Friday night, she forgot to cut her nails? And here you have a tremendous machlokas, Shach and Taz. What do you do on Friday night, and she forgot to cut her nails, and obviously it's malacha to cut your nails on Friday night.
How much in advance, like, is she allowed to cut it, where it's still cold before the mikvah? A day, 2 days?
So that it'll still look cut. Yeah, I assume a day or two. Meaning, how much does it grow in a day or two? It still looks short. How short do you have to cut them? So the post can say, you don't have to cut them like mamish till you hurt yourself. You just have to cut them like the shortest people normally cut their nails. So I assume a day or two is not significant because you don't even notice it. I think the minig is they usually cut them the day off, but I assume if you want to cut them the day before, meaning what if you tovel on Motzei Shabbos? So you cut them Friday afternoon. Okay, what if you tovel on Motzei 3-day Yantif? Okay, so you have a little mervach. Okay, so what do you do on Friday night? So here's the famous machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. Says the Taz, just clean them well. Says the Shach, you should cut them al yudei goy. Get a goy to cut them. What's the base of this machlokas? So half of this machlokas is based on Hilchos Tefillah, right? What is the Nekudos? Hamachlokes, at what points they argue. So in Hilchos Tefillah, we know how they argue. The Taz says that Medina, it is Mutter. It's just a Chumra. And even B'nai'evad, we send her back that night. But now we have no option even that night. So therefore, it's okay. And the Taz seems to say, no. It's a Chshash Medina. It's a more serious Chshash Medina. Yoni's right. He says it's impossible to tovel again. We don't forbid her to her husband. But it's a more serious chashat. At least very close to Medina. Okay. So then you understand how the shach says, nothing you can do. And the Taz says, it's not. It's necessary if you can. And here you can't. It's like B'dievid. It's like B'dievid, and it's like the next day. Because what can you do? It's interesting. He doesn't say just don't go to mikveh tonight. No, he says, okay, we can let you go. However, there's also a few Nekudas Machlokas in Hilchos Shabbos, which now is not the time to discuss the Iyud, but you have to remember this because these are basic Yedios in Hilchos Shabbos. Two crucial Machlokos here.
Number one is the question of Messiah. There's a stira in Gemara about Messiah. What if you help a guy do malacha on Shabbos? So all different kinds of help. But specifically, there are two sugyas in Shas. What if I like hold my head the right way for the guy to do something to my head in halacha? Am I violating the law or not? So where do we find you do violate the law? By nikaf. If that's what we call nowadays shaving pace.
If I go to the barber and I hold my head right for him to shave my pace, then I get malchus because I did the shaving.
What does that prove? That whoever helps is considered to be doing the maisa. Says the Taz,
what's the happening to let a guy cut your fingernails? Mappa don't let a guy cut your fingernails.
You have to help the guy. And therefore, you're cutting your fingernails. That's called Shabbos Mamish. Of course, there's no Havamina. So he has a cool and it's interesting how, I don't know, it's coincidence that everyone works out. The Taz is Megillah Hilchos Nida and Machren Hilchos Shabbos. And the Shach is Megillah Hilchos Shabbos and Machren Hilchos Nida. We don't have the other combinations on the page. So he says, A, in terms of Misayeya B'Shabbos. The Taz says, it's Ka'ose Melacha. Whoever's Misayeya is like you're doing Melacha. And it's very hard to get your fingernails cut without Misayeya. Maybe you can if you mamish or like a wax, statue or something. But it's hard. Says the Shach, that's ridiculous.
This is Machlokas Raman Rav in the Minyan Mitzvah, the beginning of the Mishnah Torah.
He says, you know why Misayeya is chaya for getting your peah shaved? Because there's a separate lav to have your peah shaved. It's not because you're shaving. It's just because there's a lav to get your peah shaved. With or without Misayeya, there's a lav to get your peah shaved. That has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos only usher to do things.
Meaning, Misayeya is a problem getting your peah shaved because it's usher to have shaved peahs, regardless of who does it.
The only nafkin of Misayeya is to do a mice so you can get malchus. Okay, so he says it is not ke'osa malacha. And therefore, he says, what's the problem? Get a guy to do a shvus to shvus mako mitzvah. We're familiar with the middle of the Shabbos. You get a guy to do it to Rabban. It's necessary for a mitzvah. That's one machlokus. The other machlokus is, now, how is it? Midrabanan says, cut al yidei goy. His shinoi. What's a shinoi? The shinoi is to pick with your fingers or bite with your teeth instead of using nail clippers. And therefore, that's shvus to shvus mako mitzvah. Says the Taz, no, that's a Jew doing malacha. Shach says, no, Messiah doesn't count. That's a guy doing malacha. Then there's another machlokas. What about cutting nails? Is cutting nails a daraisa in the first place? And therefore, he says it's not ka'osa malacha, and therefore it's mutter al yedei goy b'shinoi. That's a guy doing it rabbon and shos shos malka mitzvah. Then he has another machlokas, says the Shach. I think takets even mutter al yedei goy without a shinoi. Why? Says the Shach, cutting nails is malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. It's mafurish in the Mishnah that malacha, that cutting nails in machlok is malacha d'raisa. That's one of the 39 malachos. Is shearing gozes, which includes cutting hero nails. Says, no, that's the old malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. We all malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is potter. And therefore, even without a shinoi, says, therefore, it's really mutter al yedei goy bli shinoi, but do a shinoi. He says, but Levi said do a shinoi. Don't get into it. Here the Taz argues on him. Taz doesn't know to argue on this, but this is a famous one we've shown him. He says, nope, this is called a malacha tzricha legufa. This is actually a machlokas. All of these are machlokas Rishonim. This is machlokas Ram Raivin. This is machlokas Tosos and Ramban. The fascinating machlokas, if you cut hair, not to get hair. That's clearly Tricha L'Gufa. That's what they did in the Mishkan, according to everyone. They needed wool. They cut it off the sheep. If you cut nails because you need fingernails, I'm not sure why you need fingernails, you want to make a potion. If you cut nails because you need a science experiment, you need fingernails, for sure there's a Malacha D'Oraisa. What if you cut nails just to get rid of them? So says the Shach, that's Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. You're just getting rid of something. What if you get a haircut to get rid of extra hair? That's Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. What if you shave because you don't look good, you know, without shaving? That's Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Says the Taz, no. He says, go back to the Mishkan. Do you think they only, and it's more complicated, but
You think they only shaved hair off of the animal skin in order to get wool to make the big day kahuna? What else did they need?
The skin.
The skin, or elam adamim,
or is tashim. The skin, you have to shave the hair off in order to tan the skin and to use it to make things out of. You can't make a leather jacket without cutting off the hair, right? And therefore, that's considered trichal gufa. Okay, we're not going to get into it more than this, but this is a tremendous machlokas. Therefore, says the Shach, you can cut all the shinoi, and really even without a shinoi. And says the Taz, no way. A, it's a moch trichal gufa. B, it is a Jew doing malacha. You have, if you sit Zuchash Isidor Raisa, and if you Bashino, it's an Isidor Rabbanon.
And it's not necessary to feel. Anyway, okay, here we get the big machlokas. Let's just paskin alacha maisa, and then we will move on. The Pesachi Tshuva said very clearly, all the later Achronim agree with the
Shach here in Hilchas Shabbos. The Achronim agree with the Shach in Hilchas Shabbos. This is all the Achronim agree with this. With the Shach in Hilchas Shabbos, the Mishnah Brewer goes so far as to say, not that he's passing Bivada, but if you look at the Mishnah Brewer in Siman Shin Mem, he even agrees with this Shach. Again, not that he's being Machriel Lagamre, but given the other stuff, Mohakil here, you know, it's only Goy anyway, he agrees with this Shach. Halach Lamaisa, therefore, what do we say? We say that the plan A, Al Yidei Goy B'Shinui. Plan B, this is controversial. Many people disagree, but the Mishnah Berurah says, Al Yidei Goy B'li Shinui. Relying on the second half of the Shach. Even the Shach himself said better not to, but if you're stuck, let's say you can't do it with the Shinui, you can do it with the Goy without a Shinui. Plan C is very controversial nowadays. What's plan C? Let's say there's no Goy. Right? What if there's no guy? Not everyone has a guy. Not everyone has a guy willing to cut their fingernails. Let's say the guy's willing to cut your fingernails, but only with clippers. So go to plan B, says the Mishnah Berurah, relying on the other part of the Shach. Let's say you have no guy, or no guy is interested in cutting fingernails one way or the other. Right? Then what do you do? Then what are your two options? Either rely on the Taz, or don't go to mikvah. Ad hayom hazeh, this is a big machlokas. Right? Ad hayom hazeh, this is a big machlokas, what to do? It's a big machlokas. Nere, you let the modern day Sfarim off, and they say there are two opinions, right? But Yesh Lahakel, that Tinake Heitev the Titbo, it's a big machlokas. But Yesh Lahakel, if there's no guy, you can rely on the Taz. So basically, we take the kulas of the Shach and the kulas of the Taz, meaning the kulas of Shach and the whole Shabbos. If you have a guy, get the guy to do it. But if there's no guy, we take the cool to the Taz and we let your Tovo, because we really don't think it's so serious like the Shach.
Nobody says, and it's been radical, but I could see someone make the argument to make do it herself with a Shinoi.
No, because a Jew doing luck with a Shinoi is not much of a Makom Mitzvah, ain't of our Kazakh.
But if you behold, like.
Even so, no, that's too radical.
But according to the Taz, like, this is not a Makom Tzarach, is it?
But it could be that a tzorech doesn't. This gets epistemological. It could be that even if it could be that everyone would admit that if I am a suffik in the halacha, then that's a vadai suffik according to both a vadai tzorech according to both sides. Because practically it's a tzorech. Okay, but you're right. Yesh lod and harbi. Okay, enough for this. This actually could come up. I'm sure. I'm sure it does come up. And this is what we would do. But again, very important for Shabbos as well. Okay.
The basis of the Shach, though, when he says that you just clean them well, was because he paskined.
He's closer to the Sarafana.
Right. If we're paskining against him, so then shouldn't the premise of the Taz mean that we shouldn't have to.
Yeah, because we're still choshish for him a little. Meaning, you could go like this and say, we're choshish to Sarafana, but only a little. What about toenails? So toenails are the same as fingernails, lichatchila. And the minute is to cut your toenails, lichatchila. What about b'dieved toenails? That was the pischei tshuvas of cutting yud, quoting the Chamud de Daniel, who was makel halach lemaisa We're makel and toenails if you don't cut them b'dieved or Friday night. And even if they're dirty, he was masupik a little. If it's we're sure that no one's makbid on such as on that kind of dirt, then we'd be makel.
Even if you had, you know, a buttsink and the wrong place, etc.
So in toenails, if you don't cut them, we're makel b'dieved. Not l'chachilo has shalom, but b'dieved. And B, even if they're dirty, we're makel b'dieved if we're confident that people wouldn't be makbid on this because people don't look at toenails so much.
Therefore, don't get them cut.
And therefore, for sure, if it was Friday night, we would say just clean your toenails in tovel. Yes, sorry. Friday night, pasha, just clean your toenails in tovel. I don't even think we would ask a guy to cut them. I don't remember exactly, but I think we would just say tovel. Okay. Chaf Aleph. Tziporin hamidul delis. Shepir shemiyuta. A tziporin, that is this a hangnail? What's a hangnail? Anyone ever have a hangnail? I don't want to wish it on anyone. I think a hangnail is some kind of tzipor in the dildelis. But I'm not 100% sure. What? I mean.
Well, I assume, but.
Wikipedia hangnail.
It's not just this, it's mostly cut off, but it's like a nail that's hanging off.
It's supposedly painful.
I thought hangnail was like a medical condition, no?
Okay, I don't know. Yosef? You don't live, this is too posh for medical school.
I always thought it was like when you had that little, like, you cut yourself and it's not even, and then you have like a little, like, thing that, like, catches.
Whatever, okay. Forget it, okay. The, Mirtz Hashem, my bracha is Hashem should get to save us from all the other diseases just like he saves us from hangnails.
A hangnail is like when the skin next to your cuticle area, like next to your
skin. Oh, that's the skin, okay, so forget it, that's not this. Okay, forget that, okay. Scratch, start again, rewind the tape. Tziporin hamadulela, shapir shemiuta chotzetzes. Pir shemiuta ena chotzetzes. Okay, here is a big machlokis. Again, I'm not going to throw all the Rishonim, but in like 10 se'ifim in this simon, there's the same exact machlokis Rishonim. The Mishnah in Mikvot says one thing, the Tosefta says it depends on this Tanai. Machlokis Rishonim is it a machlokas Mishnah Tosefta? We pass like the Mishnah? Or no, Tosefta is just explaining the Mishnah. We pass like the Tosefta. So here's the same thing. The Mishnah says it is not chotzeitz. And the Rambam says we pass like the Mishnah. Tosefta says it depends if it's rov or miyot. And we pass like the Tosefta. No one ever says Rambam Tosefta against the Mishnah. It's that, oh, the Mishnah was just oversimplifying and the Tosefta was giving all the details. So here we pass Gintaka like a Tosefta. It should say in the side. Uva Tosefta Pirshu, the Iri Pirshu Ruah, right? The Bear goes to the next. And Tosefta explained the Mishnah is only talking about one case, but the Mishnah would admit in the other case. Okay, what's the difference between Pirshu Ruah and Pirshu Meuta? If it's, here we're talking about, let's say you just have a nail and it's like cut. If it's cut 49% of the way, then it is Chotzeitz. If it's cut 51% of the way, then it is not Chotzeitz. Why is that? So here we have Pirsha, what comes first? Meuta?
Yeah.
Chotzeitzis. And here we have Pirsha Ruba, Eino Chotzetzes. What's the case, and why is that? So, what are we talking about? So the Beis Yosef says, the Darki Moshe doesn't like the Beis Yosef, the Shach doesn't like the Beis Yosef, says the Beis Yosef, we're talking about the, not the nail. A nail's not Chotzetz. A nail's part of your body. Don't give me rough ons. But we're talking about dirt on the nail. If there's dirt on it on a cut nail, and then what's the svara? Ooh, okay. I'm getting in trouble here. The svara is if it's pirsha mi'uta chotzetzes because it's the it's considered part of the body. So there's dirt on your body. If the fingernail is mostly attached, it's part of your body. So then the dirt is on your body. Consider part of your body. So the dirt is on your body. But what if it's mostly cut off already? If it's mostly cut off, then it's not considered part of your body. So the dirt is on something that's not part of your body. So then it's not a chatzitza. Right? It's not considered part of the body. So, therefore, the dirt is not on your body. That is the Beis Yosef. That is the Beis Yosef. The Darki Moshe of the Shach says, no, we're not talking about dirt. We're just talking about the nail. Okay, let's, yeah.
That's assuming that you're not mapped on the dirt, so it's bumped up to your body?
No, assuming you are mapped on the dirt. So if your fingernail's mostly attached, then you have dirt on your body. If your fingernail's mostly off, it's as if the dirt is not touching your body. Okay, says the Taz. Taz says it's not the nail that is chotzeitz. No, but the makom chatach. What do I mean by that? If you have a cut, how did the water get between the two parts of the cut? Right? Where's the freebies when I need them?
What is this?
Doesn't matter. Okay. If you break something, what?
Right, you can imagine. You don't need this?
Yeah.
Let's say I were to tear this paper. Now, if you look at it right here, like, it's sort of, there's a cut here. The water has to get into the cut. But maybe the water can't get into the cut because the cut is too small to let the water in. Now, here's an obvious experiment. If I cut the paper a little, then it's hard to get into that cut. What if I cut the paper a lot? Then, you know, I can see through it. It's like it's easier for water to get in here because the bigger the cut is, the easier it is for water to get in. The smaller the cup, the harder it is for water to get in. And that is what the Taz says. If Pirshu Mi'uta, then it is a small cut, so it's tight, and the water doesn't get in. But if it's Pirshu Ruba, then it's a big cut. A big cut, and a big cut is loose, and the water gets into the cut. Yes?
Will the end of the big cut still be a small cut?
I'm not convinced, because once you have a big cut, then it gets jiggled, and it gets pushed, and in the end, you're saying if the angle is the same, it's just the further you go, the further apart it gets. Won't the bottom be the same? I don't even think the angle is the same, because let's say you took this piece of paper, and I made a small cut and a big cut, and I put it in my tick and took it out the next day. The small cut would still be closed. The big cut would probably be like all bent, right? Just because it gets jiggled around a lot. So I think even the angle would be a bigger angle, a wider angle. Okay, that's the Taz. However, the Shach says that we're talking about the nail itself being chotzeitz. Says the Shach. The nail itself is chotzeitz. Okay, l'shitasei the Ravon, that makes perfect sense. Even without the Ravon, a lot of Achronim say, even without the Ravon, a nail that's attached as part of your body, a nail that's already half cut, that's not so crazy to say it counts as a foreign object. Right? Something which is half cut is not so crazy to call a foreign object. So then what's the difference between Pirshu Ruba and Pirshu Mi'uta? According to the Shach, so he says, and this is not his idea, this is Beis Yosef, etc. He says, if it's Pirshu Mi'uta, then she's Machped. If it's Pirshu Ruba, then she's not Machped. Why? Mehechi Tesi? Because, and here he gives a whole lumbus. If it's Pirshu Mi'uta, then, did I get this one right?
The Shach is not, no, he says something else. He doesn't say explicitly, but let's call this the other Svara of the Beis Yosef. Okay. The other Svara, Beis Yosef, here is his earlier Svara. He says, why? Because if it's Pirshu Ruba, not Machbid, because it's easy to remove. So if it's easy to remove and she didn't remove it, that proves she's not Machbid. After all, if it's easy to remove and she left it, she must not be Machbid. But Pirshu Mi'uta is hard to remove. Maybe she is Machbid. She's just waiting to get a professional manicurist. Is that the word? Mm-hmm. Yes? Machbid, because it's I'm saying it wrong. It's not because. It's not Machbid, let's say, better. Because if she was, she would have removed it. If your fingernail is 75% off, if you didn't want it there, you would have removed it already. Just removed it. However, if it's only 25% off, maybe you don't want it there. But you just don't know how to remove it without a manicurist because it's very hard and you're afraid of causing pain. Your makbid, it's just hard to remove. And that's why you didn't remove it. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. Okay. A last shot is the Bach, who's really quoting the Mordechai. Right? Says the Bach, which is really a Mordechai. That's the fourth shot, we'll say. It's mentioned in the Tav Neshach very briefly. He says also, it is the nail itself. It's a funny shot. The nail itself is Chomtzeit. So what's in the Pirshu Ruv and Pirshu Me'uta? Pirshu Me'uta, the nail is Chatzitza. Pirshu Ruva, it's Ki'ilu, already cut off. So it's not Chotzitz. That's a big Chiddush. To say it's a, says if it's cut off, it's not Chotzitz, because the mice is still attached. That's the big Chiddush, the Mordechai, quoted by the Bach. It's Ki'ilu, it's already cut off. And that's why it's not Chotzitz. Okay, so these are four pshatim. Halacha l'maisa. Halacha le. Halacha l'maisa says the. Halacha l'maisa says the shach. He says halacha l'maisa. None of this makes an afkamina for us, because we say minag Ashkenaz that all fingernails, whether they're cut partially, cut halfway, cut three quarters, cut one quarter, or not cut at all, all fingernails are chotzeis, because we're Ashkenaz and we have this special chumrah. And therefore, it's not such an afkamina for us, but the afkamina would be, what if b'di'evet, she was lonsa itzel baila, when we're making like the Taz, but it was partially cut. So then we'd go back to the halacha, and lonsa itzel baila would go to the halacha, and we would say, if it was 40% cut, then it's ma'akev alpi stripped in. If it's 70% cut, then it's only ma'akev alpi minhag, and lonsa itzel baila would be mutter. Simon Sif Chaf Beis says, oh, one important thing is, sometimes a woman can get a cut like inside the nail. Not like part of it's coming off and you have to clip it off. Sometimes she'll have a cut like down the nail. That can happen sometimes for various reasons. Says the Chachmas Adam, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. If you have a cut down the nail, that is not what we're talking about here. That is not a problem at all. Because there's no like part that's supposed to be removed there. Like it's all supposed to stay. And even though water can't get into the sedek, the crack, it's okay because that crack is really balua because it never opens up. And therefore, so if you have the kind of cut that never opens at all, it's just cut, but it's all tight, like inside the nail, then that's not a problem.
Maybe next to it, but what about
like
the white thing hanging inside of the nail?
Is that the cuticles that are hanging? So, I mean, the minute is the woman cut their cuticles. Okay, so maybe that would be the next sif. It says, Aver basam zolim chotzim. If you have a limb or flesh that is hanging off your body, that is a chatzitza. Adds the Ramah, al yabelos o yaseris, v'enim zolim enim chotzim. But a wart or any extra piece of body is not. Meaning, if you have a wart or any extra piece of your body, that's not chotzitz, that's part of your body. But if you have something that's cut off and hanging by a thread, that is chotzitz. Now, what's the chiddush here? The chiddush here is that Aver and Basar are chotzitzim, but we don't distinguish between miyud and rov. So they're chotzitz across the board. We don't say it depends if it's miyud or rov. You know, it's not such a common thing nowadays like it was in the old days. You read the Gemara, people always walked around with like limbs dangling. Nowadays we have better medicine. But why are we more machmir on this? So let's just put this on the bottom here.
Back to the Taz, they had good medicine then too, right?
Aver Rubasar. No. Not that good. Aver Rubasar are always chotzeit, across the board. Even Pirsha Ruba. Even if it's dangling by a thread. That's Medul Daldim. Dangling by a thread, it's still chotzeit. Why? Why is it more chomer? So, says the Beis Yosef, according to this chat, This is okay. This is also machlokas, but we're not going to chazer the
different days. Says this shot because it's talking about dirt on it, right? Not the way the Eber Buster itself, but dirt on it, and it's always considered part of the body. Why? Because it's actually flesh. Says Vesios, makes sense. A fingernail is a nail. That's sometimes considered part of the body, sometimes not, depending on how attached it is. But flesh is always part of the body, because that's mamish part of your flesh. Okay, how about the Taz's shot? The Taz says it has to do if it's loose or tight. So answers the Taz, because you always bind it tight. Even if it's hanging by a thread, you always make it tight. And even when you go to the mikveh, you always hold it tight. Why? Because it hurts a lot. And therefore, you always make it tight so it won't hurt. Okay, how about according to the other pshat of the Beis Yosef, whether it itself is chod safe? This is also easy. You could just say that here, she probably is machbit, it's just hard to remove. It's hard to remove a piece of flesh or a limb. Much harder than a fingernail. You can't just clip it with clippers. It's complicated. And therefore, maybe she is machbit, it's just hard to remove, and she didn't get around to going to the doctor yet. And according to the pshat of the Bach, that it's very schmizy, because it's never considered already cut off because it's actual flesh. Actual flesh is never considered already cut off. Only a fingernail could be considered already cut off, but something that's an actual flesh part of the body is never already cut off. So every pshat has a hesber for this seif. Okay, doesn't come up a ton now. He's what the cuticles. L'chor, the cuticles are aver basim l'dalim. No. So aver basim l'dalim would be a problem. Yeah. Or would be a problem. Well, yeah, but appealing lips, etc. So what do we say in these cases? So in all these cases, what's the psakal maisa? You have to, or sometimes people have like peeling skin, right? Sunburn, peeling skin, or all kinds of other. So the answer is, if you have any peeling anything, you have to remove it as much as you can. Okay, and what you can't remove, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. He's talking about what the, so you remove it as much as you can. And that's good enough. Okay, Chaf Gimel, ha, not Shirayim, but Shirim, yeah?
Why is that good enough?
What?
Why is that good enough?
Because we assume that whatever you can't remove is, whatever you can't remove, that's considered part of your body and not a foreign object. That's the simple shot. That's going to get a chance. Not to mention the fact that it's probably not Machbid. So it's two stars. Okay, hasherim, which are bracelets, vanizamim, various types, wherever you put your ring, earrings, nose rings, whatever is fashionable for you, vehatabos, vakachlos, and rings and choker necklaces, im heim refuyim, inam chotzim. If they're rough, it's not a chatzitza, as we know, v'im heim udakim chotzim, and if they're tight, it's a chatzitza. V'chena din be'eget shalamakas, kasu shalashever, and likewise, for eget shalhamaka is a bandage. That's what we call a bandage. And kaskasim shalashever is what we call a cast. It wasn't a cast. They didn't have casts in those days. They would just take like two pieces of wood and tie them and make the equivalent of a cast. But these are all, if they are roughly, they're okay. If they're mahodak, then it is a problem. Okay, why is this a problem? Why don't we say you're not machbit? So the Taz brings down. We already know from the Raivin, because you take off your rings when you need dough. These are all things that you're machbit on sometimes. Even though right now you're not machbid, since you're machbid on them, sometimes they're considered machbid. You have to take off your bracelets for certain activities. You have to take off your rings for certain activities. You have to take off your earrings for certain activities. There are some poskim. The Shut Tashbetz and Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, earrings actually you never take off, so those are okay. All right, so, you know, there's what to don theoretically. Maybe if something you never take off, it would be different. But let's assume that maybe all these things are things which many women might have to take off for certain activities, and therefore they are chotzeitz if they are tight. Now here we get the big, and that's also the Pesach Tshuva, that's the whole discussion. What about a woman who's very rich and doesn't need her own dough? And he says, Lemaisa, we're not going to be makel on that. When push comes to shove, and maybe nowadays you'd be a little more makel because most women don't need their own dough. But certainly, l'chachila, we're not going to be makel. Okay, if you're really stuck, then you'll have to think about it.
So again, there are two angles. Just to review, there are two angles you can make. One is you could call these things anal machbid, but the Shulchan Aruch calls them machbid. So under normal circumstances, we call them machbid. Even though there are those who argue about rings in Pesach Tshuva Yodalit, there are those who argue about earrings in Rabbi Kiva Eger. But you know, in normal circumstances, we're choshes that everything might be called machbid. What if you're really stuck? Okay, if you're really stuck, then we'll have to figure it out. Now, the other reason to be makel is if it's loose. So according to the Mechaber, he doesn't have, according to the Mechaber says, if it's loose, no problem. What do we say about loose things? So if you remember, we had seen some people who had these chumras on loose, but it wouldn't be on things like this. Here, there's a different reason why some posts are machbir on loose. Nothing to do with their abosof shel Rashi and Masechet Shabbos. What's the reason some people are machbir on loose here? Because it all starts, because sometimes it's hard to draw the line between loose and tight. Now, if you have a necklace, a regular necklace, so that's very obvious what the difference between loose and tight is. But there are some things that even when they're loose, they're pretty tight. Which things on this list, even when they're loose, they're pretty tight? Rings. Rings aren't usually that loose. And the bandages and casts. Bandages and casts, I mean, usually try to make them tight. They're supposed to hold the wound. I mean, a loose cast is not always worth so much, although maybe fiberglass casts are a little looser. Okay, so therefore, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that loose is mutter, Rafoi is a nochotzeitz, but it's not so pashut. Some achronim are machmir in two cases. One case is the shachs of katan chavches, quoting the Bach. Bach is machmir be'eged v'kaskasim. Why? Because it's the derech to make it tight. So therefore, it's very unclear if they're ever loose. Even if they seem a little loose, maybe they're not really loose. So be'eged v'kaskasim, because they're not really loose. And I assume he'd say it's hard to draw the line, it's hard to leave everyone to make their own decision. Therefore, he's machmer in the eged v'kaskasim. The other chumra is in the Pesachei Tshuva here. What about rings? Says the Ramah in Hilchos Dilos Yudayim, and we're not experts in which rings are loose, which rings are tight. Now, obviously, you know some things are loose. But with rings, Taka, no one's ring is that loose. Why wouldn't anyone wear a really loose ring? It would fall off, they'd lose it, right? So therefore, like, now, Chazal also knew that no one wears such a loose ring. Obviously, with rings, see that thing, with rings and eged v'kaskasim, we don't mean mamish loose and mamish tight. We mean tight and, like, just over the borderline loose. And that's where the Achronim are machmer. Says the Bach, if it's just over the borderline loose, we can't take responsibility for knowing when a cast is really loose when it's tight, when a bandage is really loose when it's tight. Therefore, he's machmer. Says a lot of Achronim with rings, can't take Achrayus, and therefore there's a big machlokes with rings. Three opinions of the Pesachei Tshuva. First, he quotes from the Beis Hillel, who says that... How about rings? Three opinions. Beis Hillel says, meaning loose rings. But how loose can the ring be? He says it's chotzeitz v'im lunsa eitzel vala muteris. Says the next opinion quoted is the Chamud de Daniel. He says, Chotzeitz, va'afilu lansa v'chuli asura. He says, no, he's so nervous about rings that even if you think it's loose, maybe it's really tight. And then most achronim, like the Bach and the Lusay Surat and the Sidrei Tara, Rov Poskim, says, nope, eino chotzeitz b'dievet. Okay, halacha l'maisa, what do we say in these cases? Halacha l'maisa, we paskin l'chachila, try to be super duper extra machbid on all these things. Because these are two things that are, even when they're loose, they're not really loose. Like, it does no good to have a loose ring. It's useless to have a loose ring, and it's useless to have a loose band-aid, and it's useless to have a loose cast. They're like borderline loose, and therefore we're very nervous about them. Halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, bidi eved, The halacha lemaisa, b'di'eved,
we'd be making on a ring. If a ring was really loose, like it turned easily, then we'd be making b'di'eved on the ring. Thing is, that doesn't usually come up so much because women remember to move their rings. The shaila comes up if sometimes women, if depending on all different things in their body, their fingers get thicker. They can't get the ring off. The problem is, if they can't get the ring off, then it's taka, big shas, taka b'di'eved. The problem is, if they can't get the ring off, then usually it's tight. Because, like, it would have to be very rare to have a case where it couldn't get above the knuckle, but it was very loose where it was. If she was lucky to have that case, then b'shas adchak, we can be makel, like the poskim against the Beis Hillel and against the Chabad Daniel, and say shas adchak b'di'eved and let her tovel if it was loose. However, usually if she can't get it off, it's not loose. So what does she have to do? She has to use all kinds of slippery substances to try to get it off. And if that doesn't work, she has to go to a jeweler and cut it off. But if it happened to be loose, then we could be makel b'shas adchak v'yeg eged v'kaskasim, and you were extra sure they were for sure loose without any question, then also in a big shas adchak you can be makel. But normally it's hard to be makel. It's a little hard to be makel in these things because they're very borderline. The Ramah's right in Or Chaim. Like, it really is hard to tell the difference between a loose ring and a tight ring.
If it is in one of the scenarios, is there an option to go into the jeweler to, like, get it wet beforehand and, like, move it around as much as you can and then go to the mikvah and that for the whole area is wet?
Aha. Uh-huh. You meaning to, like, the next seif to get it. If you can move it around and get it wet, if you have enough room to move it and get water underneath, then that would also be an option if you're stuck. Fair enough. I don't know if the jeweler can expand it while it's on your hand. I don't think so. I think he has to, like, heat it to expand it.
Probably have to cut it off and then put it back together.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so it's a problem. Really, you need a big chacham ein barosho here. Every woman should, I mean, halavai, all of us should think so much ahead in everything in our life, but I guess theoretically, you know, she should always think, like, a month in advance if she ever has to take her ring off, because she might be going to the mikveh in a month and she'll have trouble getting it off. But obviously, easier said than done. Okay, Chaf Dalet. There is we're not getting into that now. Chaf Dalet. Tzricha lachzo shineha shlo yev en dover chotzeis. She has to brush her teeth so that there's no chatzitza inside her teeth. If she tovels and finds anything in her teeth, well, also let's feel it's ma'akev bidi eved. This is a furish gemara. The gemara says there was a shifcha in Rebbe's house who toveled and then found bones stuck between her teeth, and she had to tovel again. What's the chiddush here? The gemara says, what's the chiddush? Even though teeth are, what's it called in halacha? Beis hastarim. And what's the rule of beis hastarim? Beis hastarim means a place of your body that is not always revealed. Okay, there's a lot of details. We're not going to get into it now. But, for example, the inside of your mouth and your eyes are considered beis hastarim for these purposes, at least. It's a little tricky. There are different definitions of beis hastarim for tumah and for tara in Shas. But what's it in beis hastarim? Beis hastarim. You don't need bias mayim. You don't need to get them wet. You don't need to open your mouth when you tovel. But you do need roi lebias mayim. You do need roi lebias mayim. That's the Gemara says. Kala roi lebilin bila makadus. As long as it's roi for bias mayim, that's good enough. Now, is that roi for bias mayim de oraisa or de rabbanan is a big machlokas rishonim? We won't mention all the opinions, but the Ritva says this is only midrabanan. It's only midrabanan in Roi l'bias mayim. That's a big tzad l'haka on all shaylos of chatzitzas in Beis Hastarim. If male, it's only drabanan in the first place, then, however, it's not such a good tzad l'haka because Toso says that it's midoraisa. Nope, it's a funny bird. Midoraisa doesn't need to get wet, but it needs to be roi to get wet and have no chatzitza.
Even though it's like a
miyot, No, midoraisa only if it was bit starved to another 49% to make a roof.
Yeah,
even outside the mouth, 49% of your body.
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow it would be with Sarin.
Yes.
Or like, meaning if that was the only problem, it's still.
Correct, then it wouldn't be Doraisa.
And then I wonder if that's a Doraban or not a Doraban.
Correct.
Okay,
but nonetheless. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. Anyway, so therefore you can't have a chatzitza, and therefore the Gemara says, Rebbe's shifcha forgot to brush her teeth, it's a problem. Here we have a bit of machlokas. What does the Shulchan Aruch mean? She has to brush her teeth, because otherwise it will be a problem. Says the Bach, that's an Eitza Tova. She should brush her teeth, because otherwise she might get into a problem if she finds something between her teeth. And therefore, it would be smart to brush her teeth. Says the Shach, no, it's not an Eitza Tova. It is an obligation. She must brush her teeth. What seems to be the Yisod of the Machlok is the Bach says she doesn't have to brush her teeth. If she wants, she can tovel and just check afterwards if there's any chatzitza. The Shach says, no, she has to brush her teeth because she'll forget to check afterwards if there's any chatzitza. And therefore, she has to check her teeth before she tovels. We pass like the Bach. It's not an Eitza Tova. It's a Chiyuv Gomer to brush your teeth and check for chatzitzas in your mouth before, inside your mouth and your teeth before you tovel.
She doesn't have a Shach.
The Shach, sorry. Correct. I apologize. So, Tzricha, Lachtzotz, Shineha, says the Bach, Eitz Tova, says the Shach, it is a Chiyuv, and we pass like the Shach, not that it's a big enough gemina. I mean, why wouldn't you do it anyway? Why would you want to, like, say, oh, I won't brush my teeth, I'll just Tova, and then maybe afterwards I'll check and see that it was no good. So, everyone would do it anyway. Yeah, they had brushing their teeth.
Like a regular brush, they go like that.
No, they had brushing their teeth with much awkwardness.
No, but mean, doesn't mean like
they had toothpicks. They had toothpicks.
Right, so like, does that mean that our brushing teeth is better automatically?
I'm sure our brushing teeth is better. Yeah, for sure our brushing teeth is better than theirs. What? You think they had floss?
Or, well, maybe a
toothpick.
What?
They could use this hair.
I mean, flossing is more like of a precision instrument than the brushing.
Lemaisa, we brush and floss. But I don't know what they had. I thought they only had toothpicks, but I don't know if they have someone.
You're saying when it breaks a check on the shaft, that means bidyevet?
No, we'll see that what the din is bidyevet. I just mean she has to. Oh. It's not enough kamina. What kind of strange person would not do it anyway?
Just conceptually,
what's the nature of the chiyuv? The nature of the chiyuv, according to the Shach, is that l'chathchila you can't get into a suffix. That's the nature of the chiyuv. Clearly, midrabanan. L'chathchila you can't get into a suffix. The Bach says l'chathchila you can get into a suffix, and then you'll find out later.
Yeah, so what about that?
So the Shach says you can't get into a suffix.
I'm saying you're not technically getting into a suffix.
The Shach says you can't get into a situation where you might mess up. This is a situation where you might mess up, right? Because you might not clean your teeth and then forget to check them afterwards, and then you'll have a chatzitza. So that's the question. Do we make a gzeira that do we say you can check them before or after, whatever you want, the Bach? Or no, you have to check them before, because you don't want to get into a situation where you might forget to check them, lagamri.
So, according to the Shach, was this like some sort of gzeira they made? Or like
yeah, gzeira.
So, it's even b'dievin?
No, l'chatzitza. We'll see what happens b'dievin in a moment. Okay, that's the next sif. But first, we have an important minig l'maisa. V'yesh nogosh lo lechol basar yom lechol beisat tefila. Some women have minig not to eat meat on mikveh day. Nishu nichlas v'nishanayim yolchim achal acher. Because everyone knows meat gets stuck between your teeth more than anything else. That's still true in our mitzvahs, right? V'af v'yesh bokos v'chol tzishanayim, even though she's going to check and brush her teeth, choshet domo tzishanayim minei v'lavadai, then maybe she's choshet, a little piece will be left and she won't notice. Umineg yafu, it's a proper minig, says the Mechaber, it is a proper minig to not eat meat on mikveh day. Adds the Taz. Minig yafu, okay, lamaisa, minig yafu in the Taz, not explicit about this, sorry. But even though the Mechaber says minig yafu, meaning it's not an obligatory minig, it's just a nice minig, nowadays this is a binding minhag. It's not just an optional minhag, it's a binding minhag. It is forbidden, al pi minhag, for a woman to eat meat on mikveh day, and we even ask her chicken. Let's continue. She for sure shouldn't eat between bathing and toveling. Then she's even more likely to have a problem, because, meaning she shouldn't eat anything. Between bathing and toveling, she shouldn't eat anything. Why?
because she already bathed. She's not even going to wash herself again. Like, if she got out of the bath and is going to the mikvah, she shouldn't eat anything because she could easily get dirty. That's good logic. And the whole day of mikvah, just like she shouldn't eat meat, she shouldn't work with dough or with wax or anything sticky, because just like she shouldn't eat meat because it's a sticky thing in teeth, she shouldn't work with anything that sticks on your hands either. So, for example, she shouldn't paint the house on mikvah day because she could easily get some paint on her. Right? So the principle is she shouldn't eat meat or chicken or work with any sticky substances on mikvah day, just in, even though she's going to clean herself, just in case she might miss something. And after she cleans herself, she shouldn't eat anything till she goes to the mikvah, because even if she just gets some stam dirt on her, she's not going to clean herself again and it'll stay there. Now, the Taz, though, brings a big exception. Says the Taz, Simkat and Chavhei, he says it's mutter for a mitzvah. He says it's mutter for Shabbos and Yontif. But the post today, mutter for a mitzvah, he says this minhag is only for Dover Rishus, but for a mitzvah it's mutter. And therefore, what do we say? For, let's say she's going to the mikvah Saturday night, Matzi Shabbos, she can eat meat on Shabbos, because it's a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, it's okay. Likewise, if it's a Sudas mitzvah, we're mutter for her to eat meat. Likewise, if it's a mitzvah to do one of these other things, like let's say she is a minhag that for Kavod Shabbos she needs dough every Friday, then she's allowed to need dough because for her that's her mitzvah. So therefore, you don't need a strong mitzvah need. Obviously, she doesn't have to go to Sudas mitzvah. Let's say it's a bris; she doesn't have to go to the bris in the opinion of Ben, you know. Or you know, let's say it's Shabbos; well, she doesn't have to eat so much meat, you know. Or she doesn't have to need dough. But if it's a mitzvah for her, then we're mekel. So this is only when it's a davar shus we have this chomer for a mitzvah we're mekel, and she'll just check herself well.
Maybe said also chicken.
It's in the modern day poskim, say that's our minhag nowadays.
Even though it's not nearly as
stringy, but it can get stuck in your teeth sometimes. Lamaisa, you don't eat fleishiks. Lamaisa, a woman on mikvah day doesn't eat fleishiks unless it's a mitzvah. And she doesn't eat dough unless it's a mitzvah. And she doesn't paint the house unless it's a mitzvah, which is, I don't think it is.
You add other things to this that like are clearly
should. Yeah, the poskim say whatever's clearly sticky, you should add to this minhag. So I don't know what the different examples are. But what? Crazy glue. She shouldn't crazy glue on the day of mikvah. Yes. I will, even though I haven't seen this in the postkid, I will take responsibility for all the tsar that I'm causing in the world by telling the women not to crazy glue on the day of mikvah, unless it's necessary for a mitzvah.
Should it at all reflect what your minhag is and how much you weigh between meat and milk? Like if you're a 3-hour person, do you weigh 3 hours?
No. It's just a day. It's a
the whole day.
It's a minute. That's the minute. The minute is the day. Yeah.
Is it 24 hours or is it just from...
No, I think it's just from the morning. Yeah. No, we're not. The night before, she's okay.
Is this even video?
No, there's only a chachila. It's only a minute. Yeah. Okay. Just a minute l'chachila, and even when it's davar rishos. But, it's a real thing, because women go to mikvah once a month, and they know that they don't meet that day unless it's Shabbos or Yom Tov or Sudas Mitzvah. So, it's not so serious, but it is very common. Okay, here's an interesting question. What about between rechitza and tefillah? Can you eat for a mitzvah or even eat meat for a mitzvah? Why would you ever eat between rechitza and tefillah? What if you're making early Shabbos in the summer, so you have to do all your bathing before you start early Shabbos, but you can't go to the mitzvah until after tzeis? So what if you're making early Shabbos? Then you do all your bathing and you finish by 7 o'clock. Tzeis is at 8:30. And meanwhile, your family's eating Shabbos Friday night dinner, your Shabbos meal. Are you allowed to eat even meat at the Shabbos meal? That's much more chomer, because it's after you bathed. Are you allowed to eat after you bathed for a mitzvah? So this is not 100% clear. However, Willie Paskins, like it says in the Shir HaShevet HaLevi, that it's better not to. Meaning, lechachili should try to avoid. If she has to go to the mikvah in the summer, she should make late Shabbos. And then, it'll be no problem. She'll finish her chafifa at 8 o'clock, go straight to the mikvah, and tovel at 8:30 and come home, and then have Shabbos meal. So lechachili, you should try to avoid even mitzvah eating between chafifa and tefillah. However, what if you're stuck?
For example, what if you're at your family for Shabbos and they're making early Shabbos in the summer? So you can tell them, I'm going to mikvah, everyone should make late Shabbos. So that's not so appropriate. So you're going to come to the table and not eat anything. That's also not so appropriate. So what are you going to do? So then, if you are stuck, you can even eat meat between chafifa and tefillah and just be very, very careful to clean yourself using whatever methods are mutar on Shabbos at the mikvah. Well, look, you can use a dry toothbrush if it's not going to make you bleed. Right?
I think many say just don't make you bleed,
right? That's not a matter of many say. Some people do, some people doesn't. It's a mitzvah. I don't care how many poskim say. There are some people who, no matter how many poskim say, are not going to bleed when they brush their teeth. And there are some people who, no matter how many poskim say, they are going to bleed if they brush their teeth. So it's not up to the poskim. So anyway, you have to do what you can. Okay. Anyway, all I'm saying is that it's for sure that a mitzvah is not ideal between chafifa and tefillah, which would only come up in like an early Shabbos kind of situation. However, if you're stuck, you can be makel. And sometimes you're stuck, so you have to know that you can be makel. You know, sometimes, whatever, a woman's mikvah night is Friday night. She's in a bungalow colony with her in-laws, and everyone's making early Shabbos, so what's she going to do? So she can eat between chafifa and tefillah and just try to be as careful as she can. Okay, Viter. And what's the proof for that? The proof for that is, and what if it would be a 3-day yontif? She's allowed to eat between chafifa and tefillah, and she's even allowed to eat meat, and she's just as careful as she can.
Is that ideally she should not hold back from her ordering Shabbos and she should eat?
Right, ideally she should, no.
Or ideally she should just like say, like, oh God, I must not eat meat.
She should use her common sense. If she has a problem with meat between her teeth, then she should avoid the meat even if it takes away a little from owning Shabbos. If she thinks it'll be okay, then she should have full owning Shabbos. She should use her common sense. Okay. There are those who say common sense is not so common. Sorry.
Does it depend, like, if she is able to brush without bleeding?
Yeah, she has to use her common sense. Okay. Done. Chaf hey. Im lo idich, here everyone asks b'di'eved. What if b'di'eved? Forget it, the Shach and the Bach. What if Bidi Eved, she didn't do the Shach's Kriyam and she didn't do the Bach's Eitz Tova, she didn't do anything. So we'll see, it's much more chomer if Bidi Eved, she didn't check her body. But what if Bidi Eved, she didn't clean her Beis HaStarim? Im lo idicha Beis HaStarim, Beis HaKmatim, Shalat, Sifchav Hei, Venimtzim, Dover Chotzeis, lo also a Tefillah. If she didn't check her Beis HaStarim and Tovel, and then check afterwards and found the Chatzitza, then her Tefillah is invalid. Okay, that's pretty commonsensical.
With shoes or without shoes?
What?
With thumb rules or not with rules?
With what?
Does it even mean it? Even mean
it? Yeah. Mean a makbid, yeah. Ve'im lo nimtzal adavar chotzeitz, af v'shlo bodka kodum tvila, also la tvila, ve'inu domul tbigiz agofa chavivis arosh. What's the principle? The principle is that, what if you have the following case? If she didn't check before. This is case A. Checked afterwards and found the chatzitza. I hope that we wouldn't even be misopic about that. Then obviously she didn't check before. After the chatzitza, there's a chatzitza. Then obviously this is no good. Right? She didn't check before and after she found meat between her teeth.
Even if she was
learning
to
buy? Yeah. What can you do? Yeah. Meaning it's a chazaka. We didn't check before and we checked afterwards. Afterwards wins.
It's just not so obvious that there are bombs that you have. I mean, maybe it is.
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. Okay. But here's a more interesting case. Now we'll get to the case you're thinking of after this. What if you have a case where she didn't check before? You know what? I don't have to be cheap here. B. She didn't check before. And she checked afterwards, and she was clean. Right? So, what would your common sense be in this case?
Sounds
reasonable, but still, you never know. Maybe she had a chatzitza, and it just fell off after mikvah. So, what's the halacha? The halacha is abundantly clear. The halacha is abundantly clear. I think he's quoting Ravid here, but all the Rishonim agree. That if we're talking about her makom galoy, if we're talking about
Muckum Galloy, then it is a problem. But if we're talking of Base Hastarin, then it's okay. Muckum Galloy, it's a problem. Okay, maybe you'll come to Ravana, maybe you'll exhibit, it's a problem. What's the difference between Muckum Galloy and Muckum Base Hastarin? According to which Rishon could you think of a good Svara?
What's Muckum Galloy first?
Your whole body in here. According to the Ritva, it makes perfect sense. I don't have a Ritva who says this, but it certainly makes a lot of sense. Al pi Ritva, this is very pashut, because this is a suffik de Oraisa, and this is a suffik de Rabbanan. And it's not even such a real suffik de Rabbanan, because she was clean afterwards. It's like a far out suffik. So a far out suffik de Oraisa, they were machar, a suffik de Rabbanan, they weren't. But how about according to Tosos? Holds there's no difference. So here we have two hezbeirim the Shach brings down. What are the two hezbeirim that the Shach brings down? First, he brings down from the Levush, the Atera Zahav, and the Madani Melech, right? Atera Zahav, Madani Melech. What's the Hezber that they say? They give a Lundish Hezber or a practical Hezber? Okay, the Shach Zukat Lamed Beis quotes the Atera Zahav, Madani Melech, who says, Chesky? A practical Hezber. Because over here, it could have fallen off after Tvila. Let's say I don't check my arms. And then I check my arms afterwards. And I find them clean. Still, maybe there's something in my arm and fell off after Tvila, so we're machmir. But in Beis HaStarim, it's hard for things to fall off in Beis HaStarim because they're stuck. The whole point of Beis HaStarim is they're stuck inside something, so they don't fall off so easily. So here, it unlikely to have fallen off after Tila. Why? Because things get stuck in Beis HaStarim, because they're Seser. And therefore, if there's nothing there, let's say there's nothing between my teeth, then there probably was not anything between my teeth an hour ago either, because where would it have gone? It's hard for things to fall out of my teeth. Obviously they can, but it's less likely. That's their story. The Shach doesn't like it. What did the Shach say? The Shach says a third Hesper. He says a Lundish Hesber. He doesn't say terribly much, does he? He says, there you need Bias Mayim, and here we don't. Right? Is that what he says?
Yes.
Yeah. There you need Bias Mayim, and here you don't need Bias Mayim. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? So all the Lamdanim say that the Shach is trying to say a Lundish Vart. What's the Lundish Vart? I think this is the Lundish Vart of the Shach. If you have a suffik chatzitza in a makom galoy, the suffik is whether the water touched where it's supposed to touch. Right? If I have a suffik chatzitza on my arm, I'm a suffik whether I was in the water or not in the water. If I have a suffik chatzitza in my teeth, I don't need water in my teeth. I was definitely in the water. I'm a suffik if I had a psul of chatzitza beis hastarim. So what you'd say is here. This is called suffik tavla. Suffik lo tavla, because I don't know if the water touched my body or not. Here, it's vaday tavla. Okay, this brings nostalgia for anyone of the first parak of Chulin, but we're not going to get into the details. Vaday tavla, but it's a suffik psul b'tvila, suffik lo hayapsul. I think that's what the Shach is trying to say. If I'm a suffik, if I had a chatzit on my arm, I'm a suffik if I did a maisa tefila or not. Because if the water didn't touch my arm, I didn't do a maisa tefila. If I'm sure my body was clean, I'm just a suffik, my teeth was clean, I did a maisa tefila. The water touched everywhere it was supposed to touch. But I'm a suffik whether there's a psul of a chatzit as beis hastarim or not. Al pi lamdas, those are two different things. Suffik tefila, suffik lo tefila, we assume I didn't tovo. If I know I told them there's suffik, there was a psul suffik, there wasn't a psul, then maybe we can be mako. Okay, I'm not going to relate this exactly to the sugya in the first parak of Chulin, right? The difference between suffik by shecht and didn't shecht versus I know that I shechted, but suffik there was a psul in the shechita. And exactly how to be magdu these things, I know is the devil's in the details here. But I think I assume that's the lumdus of the shach, and it makes sense. Suffik chatzitz makom goli is suffik whether I went into the water as much as I should have. Suffik chatzitz my teeth, I definitely went into the water as much as I should have. Just suffik if there was a side problem or not. And those are very different, I'll pee lumdus. Okay, that's enough for now. The rest of the alumnus will have to wait for another opportunity. Yes?
So why is that? Why can't you make oath if it's a Sadik soul?
Because I know I tovel. So if I know I tovel, then I'm the Chesgas Tara until you prove there was a psal.
And the Chesgas sort of thing.
Yes. I know I'm oversimplifying, but that's good enough for now.
Mati nods, so we're okay. Chafav, what about the following case? Im lo bodka kodin tefila ben shineha v'lo beis hastarim shela, v'achar tefila nami lo bodka ad shenis aska b'ksamim. This is what Chu was thinking in the back of his head before when he was asking, like, well, what if, like, it's the next day, etc. He meant something else, but he also meant, like, eventually she's going to get dirty. So, ad shenis aska b'ksamim v'tav shila v'charkach bodka matza etzim ben shineha d'vrchotz ben stareha. Talina loch kula v'armin d'basar tefila aylila. Here's an interesting case. This is the third case. By the way, if you want to know where these halachos are for the Makom Goli in the Guf, like the Mechaber is assuming, okay, so they're later. He's just assuming that we know what he's going to say in the next siman. But what about this case? Didn't check before. And check afterwards, after, let's give an example, she ate meat and found, guess what, meat. Or she didn't check beforehand, she checked afterwards after she painted and found paint. She didn't check beforehand, she checked afterwards after she ate chulent and found chulent. She didn't check beforehand, she checked afterwards, after she cleaned the fireplace and found soot, etc. What's the din there? So here in a makom goloi, for sure that's a problem. That's a baya. What if it is a beis hastarim? So what if it's a beis hastarim? So here says the Mechaber, quoting the Ravid, says the Mechaber, it's okay. Since we're very makel on steak as a beis hastarim, we say, even though you found something afterwards, ain't safek goes meat a vadai. Vadai, you ate meat now. Safek, whether there's meat there beforehand, we'll toll it on the meat now. Which means that, let's say you didn't check your beis hastarim, you tovled, and you only remembered a week later, then whatever you find, you probably touched that in the last week, so you're okay. However, says the Rokeach, and thus passes the Shach, that it's no good. The Rokeach, quoting the Shach, paskins that it's no good. And Pashtus, we would be Machmir here. Pashtus, we would be Machmir here. Okay, maybe depending if there's other stuff in Muhakkal or not, but it'd be, we'd have to be Choshish. The Shach says, Shach, that's going too far. You didn't check beforehand. Again, it's not a common case. Every woman checks beforehand. Sometimes you have OCD women who says, I'm not sure if I checked beforehand. Okay, there's a special chachma of dealing with OCD women when they ask shaylas in mikvah. But, you know, otherwise, you really don't get, like, what are the odds someone didn't check beforehand? Highly unlikely. So that is, it could be this would depend on the... Anyway, that's not going to work. Okay, so that's a machlokas. The lund is not so clear to the shach. It doesn't work out with shitasa. The last shach, it's not a stira, but it doesn't specifically work out, so we'll leave it at that for now. Chav zayin. Nas nasar b'fiha. Okay, this is Mefurish Mishnah. If she had she stuck her hair in her mouth, I assume by accident, o kartza sifsoseha, or she pressed her lips tight, o kaftza yada, or she tightened or clenched her fists, in a way that water doesn't reach them, then the tefillah doesn't count. Okay, so meaning if she clenches herself too much, then she prevents the water from reaching all her skin, and it doesn't count. Two of these cases are obvious. Which two cases are obvious? Hair in her mouth. Hair needs bias mayim, right? So Sarah needs bias mayim. And if it's in her mouth, then it's not going to have bias mayim, it's a problem. Yada needs bias mayim. She clenches her fist, the water can't get into the folds of her hand, and it's a problem.
The tricky part is, what about sipso seha, meaning pita? After all, is your mouth a besa star? It doesn't need bias mayim. It can't have a chatzitza, but the mouth doesn't need bias mayim. And here there's a machlokas rishonin, what the reason is for the Mishnah of Kartza Sifso Seha. So what's the reason? Let's put it this way. Kartza Sifso Seha. Anyone know at least one Hesber? Why it's a problem she pressed her lips? After all, she doesn't need Bias Mayim in her mouth. Why is it a problem? Okay, so the minority Shita is, the Gilui Marashah quotes this, right? The Deya Echad in the Rosh Mishans. You know the Rosh Mishans has a Paris on Mishnayos, Zerah and Taros. So the Rosh Mishans bring one opinion. Then what's the reason? The reason is because the mouth needs Royal Bias Mayim. Now, that's not the Chiddush. What's the Chiddush of the Rosh Mishans that we don't really hold like? What's the Chiddush of the Rosh Mishans? The Chiddush of the Rosh Mishans is that we thought Royal Bias Mayim at no Chatzitza. He has a big Chumrah. He says because the mouth needs Royal Bias Mayim, that's not the Chiddush. His Chiddush is that Royal Bias Mayim doesn't just mean no Chatzitza. Royal Bias Mayim means if you stayed in the mikveh long enough, water would seep in. If your mouth is loosely closed, eventually water would seep in. If your mouth is tightly closed, water will never seep in. I'm not even sure that's true of Mitzius. But, therefore, it needs Royal Bias Mayim, and therefore, cannot be tightly shut. Because then water will never seep in. This is a tremendous chiddush, this Rosh Mishans. Because that's not what everyone else assumes. Everyone else assumes Royal Bias Mayim just means it doesn't have a chatzitza. You could get water into it if you desired. It doesn't mean like water will seep in through your semi-loose mouth. I'm not even sure that's true of Mitzius. That's a big chiddush, the Rosh Mishans. What does all the other Rishonim say? All the other Rishonim say, including the other day in the Rosh Mishans himself. What do they say? Shar Rishonim say that no, it's not because of the mouth. What happens if you squish your lips together? Is that only a Beis HaStarim problem?
The lips problem.
It's the inner half of your lips is Beis HaStarim. But when you squish them, you squish a little of the outer half of your lips. And that's Makom Galoy. Because part of the lips is a makom galoy. That actually makes a lot of sense. When you squeeze your lips, you also squeeze some of the galoy part of your lips and don't let the water in. And that's the problem. It's not that the mouth needs water to almost have access there, to eventually have access there. No, the mouth doesn't need water of any access. It's just as long as it's free of a chatzitza. What's the nafgamina? There's a nafgamina between these two opinions, and that's discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva. Nafgamina is, what about kartza shineha? What if she clenches her teeth? Right?
Would water really not get in there? What are the rough shots you're trying to hit?
No, it will get in between the teeth, but it won't get to the bottom of this tooth and the top of this tooth if I'm clenching. And
if your teeth are like exactly.
Yes. So, it's not my chumrah. It's not the Chamudah Daniel's Chomer also. The Chamudah Daniel says that there's no problem. However, the Lechem Asimla was machmer in this a little. So then, Kartza Shineha could be a problem. Because after all, then maybe water will never be able to get to the bottom of my teeth. However, if you take this shot, then that's the Chamudah Daniel. He said, no problem. What do we assume? We assume, like the Chamudah Daniel, however, the Lechem Asimla, that's the Baal Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, Perush and Chasmida, he says that it's good l'chachila not to clench your teeth just to be on the safe side. But we don't really take this We don't really take this so seriously. Really, we don't. This shot, the Guillemar shot, was this shot in the Rosh shots, right? Did you see the Guillemar shot? You thought of it. Okay, even better. But it's, you could have also looked in the Guillemar shot. But however, we don't really take it seriously. Yeah, some people are machmir l'chachila, but really we pass like the food of Daniel and like all the other Rishonim, that it is not a, that the beis hastorim could be as tight as you want, as long as they have no chatzitza. The only problem with the lips is that part of the lips is beis hastorim, but the other part of the lips is gully. Okay. Take one more picture before you go, Chesky.
No, not quite.
Okay. Beseder. Now, so take a picture anyway.